It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 550. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show, and Facebook, facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. Have jam-packed show with a couple things about Malwarebytes I want to talk about. I want to share Fences software tip, something I ran into, quick tip. An audio tip for recording, maybe Skype calls or recording something from YouTube. Just a quick little tip. And then I have a stack of email. Before I get started, I want to thank Instant House Call for being a sponsor of the Mike Tech Show. And I use this software every day. Last night, two systems at the same time. I'm remoted in, unattended, cleaning them. While I was actually working on something else, so I'm running JRT, I'm running Malwarebytes, I'm running all these programs remotely, Adware Cleaner, I reboot and auto connect, and it's all because of Instant House Call. I would not be able to take care of and service my clients if it wasn't for that software, and you can try it free for 15 days. By clicking on the link on my website on the left-hand side, that'll take you to instanthousecall.com. You can download the trial for 15 days, and please use the promo code MikeTechShow. So again, instanthousecall.com, use the promo code MikeTechShow. Couple quick announcements. ChannelCon, CompTIA's ChannelCon, is August 3rd, 4th, and 5th, but we're getting together August 2nd. Lisa Hendrickson, Call That Girl, host of Office 365 podcast. She's hosting a podcaster roundtable meetup at 5 p.m. at the event in Chicago. Please register. I'll have a link for that. Make sure if you're coming out to CompTIA that you can attend that. Also, thank you to Instant House Call for providing a free registration code for that event, and the link is at the website at miketechshow.com. Also, if you missed the first week, please don't miss the rest of Jetpack. This is every Monday morning at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time, a live online show for real IT business. You are going to love it. Please take the time, make sure that you go and attend. It's free. The link in the website where you can register, it's right there. I have it under the sponsor section that says Watch Jetpack, live online show for real IT business. Click on that, register, attend. You will not regret it. Want to talk about first Malwarebytes. There was a big update. It's 2.1.8. And the first thing that I want to mention is when you update, if you've already bought a license, be careful how you answer the question if they have trouble discovering your license and you get a question where the first option is, did you get it from online source or, you know, blah, blah, blah. Take the second choice that you purchased the product. And then you will be able to preserve your lifetime subscription. I have had people that have had a lifetime subscription purchased, picked the wrong option, and now their license is going to expire. We're going to have to fix that with Malwarebytes. But be careful. The option you choose, always, no matter how you got your license, pick that you purchased the key, and you should be fine. Besides the license key, and now it actually tells you how long the duration of your subscription is when you pick account info. They've enhanced protection capabilities with web protection. Big list of things that they've improved, issues that they fixed from the last version. Big upgrade, but I wanted to let you know about the licensing. Now, another announcement that happened this week from Malwarebytes, they purchased the Junkware Removal Tool utility, which removes adware, toolbars, and potentially unwanted programs, which we call PUPs. So if you ever see PUPs, that's potentially unwanted programs. And you pretty much always want to get rid of them. I've never found any that I've wanted to keep. Until they integrate it, JRT is going to be available, and I always recommend going to bleepingcomputer.com to download it. It's always going to be available. Then there's going to be a big update to Malwarebytes that they are going to integrate the Junkware Removal Tool engine into their product. It'll remain a standalone piece of software for current users, at least until the functionality is replicated within Malwarebytes. They're looking at doing that over the next few months. So no specific date. We have to keep an eye on this. Hopefully Malwarebytes will integrate this properly, and now we've saved two steps. We can just use Malwarebytes and not have to run JRT. But I don't want to see Malwarebytes become the bloatware that we've seen previous antivirus programs become, like McAfee and Norton, where they've become so bloated, they take up so much resources on your system that you can't use them. And I refuse to recommend those products. Let's hope that Malwarebytes does not become that bloatware software. Hopefully they will take it and integrate it. We know JRT is a great product. It's the first program I always go to when I am cleaning a system. Someone's complaining their system's slow. I always integrate JRT. I run JRT. Then I run Adware Cleaner. Then I'll run CCleaner and clean up all the temp files, all the junk files. Then I will also use CCleaner to clean the registry. Then I'll run Malwarebytes. And then maybe even run Malwarebytes again if it finds a bunch of things. Sometimes I'll run Super Anti Spyware. I also run TDSS Killer because that's so easy to run and it looks for rootkits. But that's my standard approach to cleaning someone's system. If it's Windows 7, I will run CombiFix if I absolutely know that the system is infected. That's my process, and it's interesting that Malwarebytes was watching JRT, and they're probably wondering, why is so much junkware getting through their engine where they're supposed to be stopping that? So I get it. I see where these things are getting by, where Malwarebytes is running, and there is technology that JRT is using to rip out and remove some of this junk. Very interesting that Malwarebytes is now incorporating it, so it remains to be seen how well they integrate it. Wanted to let everybody know that that's happening. Couple tips. A link I'm going to have in the show notes for Fences, a software product by Stardock that allows you to easily, automatically organize your desktop with different shortcuts and icons with Fences. You can create shaded areas to organize your desktop. As a matter of fact, I keep it shaded to 20%. So you see just a slight image of an area of icons on my desktop until you move the mouse over it, And then they're all, you can read it. You can actually see it. You could define rules to organize your desktop icons. You can swipe between multiple pages of fences. Very cool. So I've laid this out. And accidentally, I double-clicked my desktop. Now, I didn't know this until afterwards, but all of my fences disappeared. And it was very frightening because I'm like, I spent a lot of time months and months ago when I, maybe even a year, I've had this product where I organize, I have a podcast fence. I have an area of just the programs that I need to help produce the podcast. So to give you an example, I'm reading one of my fences now where I have MIRC. I have the link to Ustream Producer. I have Audacity, Webcam Max, FileZilla. That's how I upload the podcast. Skype, it's where I get all my voicemails. And then Zipod. That's how I test after I post the content. I want to make sure it's downloadable and you can listen to it. And that's how I test the RSS feed. I have a fence and a little area called podcast. So when I double clicked, I must have accidentally did that. They all disappeared. Now I'm panicked. I want to know, how do I get everything back? I even reboot my computer and they didn't come back. So now I start going online. And it's funny, I didn't go to the page for fences because one of the second key features listed there is double-click the desktop to hide or show icons. I did not know that. I didn't know that was a feature until I read that, where several other people had that same problem. And in a forum, there was the answer, don't worry, just double-click your desktop, everything comes back. So I wanted to share that. I didn't know if anybody uses fences. Don't get frightened. If they all disappear, just double-click the desktop. They will come back. Something else, a tip, that I was looking for an easy way for me to record the Skype voicemails or audio from something I'm watching in YouTube. Now, I love Audacity. And something that I had been missing for a long time was a feature that was brought to you by the driver of your Sound Blaster audio card that added an option called What You Hear. And one of the nice things I was able to do in Audacity was pick that as the recording device. So Audacity would just listen for anything I'm playing on the desktop and it would record it. Well, I don't have a Sound Blaster card. I have a Realtek Audio that's built into my Gigabit motherboard. So how can I do that? And I don't think this is available with every sound card, but it's something to try. I did this. I followed the instructions, and it worked perfectly. Go into Control Panel and open up Sound. Go to Recording tab. Right-click on any of the white space there, and there's going to be two options that I want to make sure you have checked. Show disabled devices, show disconnected devices. If you do that, you might get stereo mix. Now, this is part of the driver for my Realtek Audio, but I've never seen it before. Stereo mix, I highlighted it. I clicked set as default. So now for recording, stereo mix is the default. I opened up Audacity, and now stereo mix is an option for recording. I go to a YouTube and I start different music artists, different songs, and it recorded beautifully. So it's a way to record what you hear, and it's a little tip, and I don't know if it's going to be available for you, but it's something to try if you're interested in recording this, and it's called Stereo Mix. At the end of the show tonight, I have a song that is an acoustic cover from a group that you would not expect. And I found this on YouTube and I wanted to share it. So I'm going to play that at the end of the show. Let's get to email. First one is from Chris. And this was the GPT to MBR. And Chris was the one who asked, how can you do this? And I started getting confused. But actually, I initially was right. I just listened to show 549 and you answered a question that I left a voicemail about. You weren't overthinking. My question was really about converting a GPT to MBR partition while retaining the data. I have had endless problems with taking a drive out of a machine and getting data off it since a GPT partition came onto the scene, and was hoping that someone had a great tool for keeping the data. Thanks for getting the question out there. You have a great show, and I'm always picking up excellent tips from listening to it. Chris, thank you. But we are still looking for a way to not destroy the data on the system. So how do we take a GPT formatted or set up drive, pull it out of a system, and how do we read that where we don't lose the data? That's the question. So still looking for an answer for that. Thank you, Chris. This is from Jeff. You have been lamenting the installation of updates from a fresh installation. I use DISM boot USBs and .wim images on an external hard drive for this purpose. The image is sysprepped, so no activation key is required until you lay down the image. Microsoft has great tools for creating an image that you can lay down on a computer. And here's a quick overview of my process. And he has a link for downloading the Windows ADK, make a bootable USB, we have that link. He makes an image in a Hyper-V virtual machine. I have attached a text file I use when making a new image. Here are some notes about my process. Control-Shift-F3 puts you in audit mode to make the image. Microsoft will not allow Windows updates to run in audit mode in Windows 8.1. The Windows 8.1 directions are command prompt commands to do updates through PowerShell. This is not needed in Windows 7. The Windows updates works fine in a Windows 7 virtual. Now, I have loaded the pswindowsupdate.zip on my company's FTP site, and you are welcome to download it from there to or find it on Microsoft. I'll probably make sure that the link is from Microsoft, and I will put it up there. The registry hack that adds disable first run customize takes away the wizard for IE. That's cool. For the first time it's opened. That's a really good hack. The stuff under setup profile are items I do to make a default profile. Do copy the default profile you need, the make default profile XML I attached. The ISO for the Windows DVD needs to be mounted as well. The final command syspreps the image with the default profile. This image will have all the updates up to this point. After this, I boot to DISM and use the command DISM/capture image/image file z:win7. You know what? This is too big, this command. Here's what I'm going to do. Jeff, I want to thank you for taking the time. There's also some other commands here. There's no way in a podcast that this can be appropriately communicated. I am going to take his email exactly as it is. I will make it a text file with the links, and I will put that in the show notes so you can click on it and then take this information and use it. I think that's the best way to communicate this to all my listeners. Jeff, hope you don't mind. I'm going to take your email here and just make a couple slight edits to it, make it a text file so you can download it, and then you have all this great information on how to do this. So thank you so much. This is a reminder I put for me in my notes here for emails. It's an email I got from Microsoft Office 365. You can now get Word, Excel, and PowerPoint new on your Android phones. Office 365, the apps are available for Android. Good news for all the Android users that want the full Microsoft programs. This is from Michael. Now, I've downloaded this, and I need to start testing with it for Gmail. I have not tested this and vetted it yet, but if anybody wants to do that and then maybe write up a review for me or record a review, I would really appreciate it. And this is a software suggestion as a replacement for Outlook if you have Gmail or Google Apps. I've been listening to the podcast for both Tech Vets and the Office 365 show and have been hearing about the difficulty of connecting Outlook into Gmail. My alternative is to use EM Client for the email program. And this is www.emclient.com. I can get connected into Gmail and sync mail, contacts, and calendar in a matter of a couple minutes. I have been using it for about 3 years now and have no issues. Just thought it might be a good program to add to the toolbox for all IT techs. This is emclient.com. This might be a great alternative for the Gmail user in your life that doesn't want to go through the complexities of Outlook and trying to get all that information to sync. I want to thank Michael for that email. Thank you very much. This is Andrew. I've been listening to your show for several years now, and the content has been great. I don't know if it's just me, but I listen to your show mainly on my phone. I find that the volume doesn't get very loud to the point where I can put down my phone and listen to the podcast while I do other things. When I attempted to do this, if I make too much noise with whatever else I'm doing, and it always drowns out the phone, even when I turn the volume all the way up. I listen to several other podcasts, and their loudness levels are quite good. But when listening to yours, it sounds a bit muffled. I'm going to look into this. And just a concerned listener trying to give helpful feedback. And thank you for all your hard work. Mike, keep up the good work. I want to hear, does anyone else have that trouble where the recording is muffled? The last year or so, I have went to the MacBook Pro for recording, which is analog. And I'm not recording digitally anymore, which I used to with FireWire with my old mixer. I need to get that mixer fixed because that's where the pops were coming from and the problem. And there's blown capacitors that have to be replaced. Once I get that fixed, I will put that back into the mix, and then we'll have digital recordings, which should be a little clearer, a little crisper, I'm hoping. Definitely let me know if you're having any kind of an audio problem with what you are using to listen to the podcast. Business class wireless router with guest network. Hello, Mike. Great shows as always. I have been working with a couple of small businesses that want to have a guest wireless network. I have been playing with a couple of routers with guest wireless networks, and it seems like most are not isolating the guest wireless from the internal networks of the company. I am using a higher Netgear wireless router, and it did not have an option for isolating the guest wireless. I don't like that the guest computers are getting the same IP addresses as the internal network. They should not. And I'm going to give you the obvious, inexpensive solution. A tech-savvy guest could get access to the company's data. Absolutely. So I'm trying to find out what router would best isolate the guest wireless from a company's internal network. I really don't want to keep on buying routers that will not work, and love to hear from your tech community on what router or how they set up a guest wireless. Sometimes you can plug an access point in a cable modem router to do guest wireless network and have another router for the company's internal network. I do that all the time. That router would get the WAN IP from the cable modem. This could be messy and be complicated. No, it's going to be real easy. Usually, we would cable the router in bridge mode and let the business class router do the router work. I have heard you mention about setting up wireless networks and was wondering what you do. Looking forward to your feedback. And this is Tony from Detroit. Tony, here's what I do. I buy an inexpensive media link router. It's a full little inexpensive router. I plug that in to the internet sourced cable modem, which usually has multiple Ethernet ports. So we have one going to the router that serves the company. Then I have a second one with the internal LAN IP to go something like 192.168.8.100.200. Another number in the third octet of the IP address. Make sure that is set. And then whatever IP address it pulls from the WAN, it's going to NAT it to the guest network. Usually, I take the company name, the initials, and let's say it's ABC Company. So the SID that's broadcasting, I will make it ABC-public. And then the password, I always make guest 123. Any customer that calls me, any client that calls me, and they forget that password, I can tell them because we don't care. Anybody that can get on, it's got to be 8 characters for the password, and you want to keep it simple and easy that you can give out to any visitor, any customer, any client, and they cannot get to your core network. They have a completely different IP subnet that they cannot get access to your network. I, like you, are not happy with the options for guest wireless on a lot of the routers that I've been using or the ones that I'm inheriting. Unless you want to spend money on a Sonic Wall, Firewall, or that kind of class of business router where the guest network is easier to set up and it will be separate, then you don't want, if you don't want to spend that money, then the cheap solution, the inexpensive solution, is to just get an inexpensive router, plug it in, set it up with a different IP scheme for the LAN side. That's it. That's how I do most of my clients. It just makes it so much easier to just have that separate inexpensive router. And then you don't mess with any of the programming or anything, especially if clients where I inherit their router, where I don't want to make any changes to it, but they want to add a guest network. Now, if you need a huge guest network, that gets a little complicated, where if it's a big, big office and you got to cover a lot of space, now we got to get into a totally different solution where we want to have routers and access points placed strategically that can do both. So this way we don't have double the work to roll out. So here's what I ask. What are you recommending for small businesses? What are you doing? Do you have the perfect router that can have a guest network that in no way, it's given a totally separate IP addresses, and there's no way anyone on that guest network can traverse to the private network? What are you using for your clients? Let me know, and I will share them with everybody else. I have some music for tonight. This is an acoustic cover by the group Shinedown, and in particular, two members, Zach Myers, the guitarist, Brent Smith on vocals. Give a listen to this song.
This is a song called Sitting on the Dock of the Bay by Mr. Otis Redding. Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and I'll watch them roll away again. So I'm gonna sit on the dock of the bay and watch the tide roll away. I'm gonna sit on the dock of the bay and waste my time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay. I have nothing to live for, and looks like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm gonna sit on the dock of the bay and watch the tide roll away. Yeah, I'm gonna sit on the dock of the bay and waste my time. Looks like nothing's gonna change, everything still remains the same. I can do what 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. It's 2,000 miles I've roamed just to make this dock my home. So I'm gonna sit on the dock of the bay and watch the tide roll away. Gonna sit on the dock of the bay and waste my time.
That is Shinedown, Zach Myers, Brent Smith, doing an acoustic cover of Otis Redding's Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. Hope you enjoyed that. I want to thank everybody for staying subscribed and downloading the podcast. Please remember to continue to use my Amazon link. I want to thank everybody who uses that to purchase all your items from Amazon. Please share it. It's simple. It's amazon.mikenation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to support the show. I really appreciate it. Also, my sponsor, Instant House Call, please give it a try for 15 days and use the promo code MikeTechShow. Also, remember, check out Jetpack on Monday mornings, especially this coming Monday, July 6th. If you're not doing anything, 9:30 a.m., give it a try. And it's real IT business being discussed. Check it out. You can sign up for the link on my website at miketechshow.com. My other affiliates, Auto Backup for Tech 6 Pro, tremendous for transferring information from one system to another, from one operating system to another. It's phenomenal. I love it, love it, love it. Use it all the time. That's it. Hope you enjoyed the show tonight. Everybody in the U.S., have a great holiday weekend, a safe and happy 4th of July weekend. Hope you have fun. Stay cool. I'll see you next week, same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.